Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Our mission is to make analytics practical. This is not about abstract theory, but to share true stories of how using analytics helps real-life businesses with real-life constraints make the best possible decisions to compete, grow, and thrive. I'm your host, A.G. Tan. Using analytics technologies well can be a game changer in any function of a business, whether you're in sales and operations or doing financial planning and reporting. Being told that isn't always helpful though, is it? Analytics is such an abstract concept, and it can be difficult to relate it to your specific situation. That's why hearing about other people's experiences can be super helpful. Today, we're going to hear about how the corporate finance department of a Fortune 500 energy company increased the quality and speed of their decision-making by moving past relying on Excel spreadsheets. The secret? Take one small step at a time. My guest today is Fran Berger, who manages performance and financial systems at Eversource, a large utility here in New England. I am so excited that Fran is here because, well, we're friends and we go back a long way. I think we first met 13 years ago when I was Fran's consultant on that very first corporate planning project. We'll hear more about that in a minute, but first, welcome, Fran.
Thanks, AG. It's really a pleasure to be here speaking with you. And it's always great talking to you. As you said, we go back a long way. So I'm very pleased to be able to do this and be with you today.
Thank you, Fran. So tell me what you use analytics technologies for at Eversource today. What does it enable you to do that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do?
Well, that's a great question. So as you know, we are longtime users of planning analytics. And as I really look back on what it enables us to do, it really enables us or has enabled us on our journey to be more efficient and to really eliminate some of the manual processes that we had previously and really focus more on the analytics versus the data gathering and really focusing more on the high level analytics and the high level work.
So when you're talking about the manual processes you used to have, I mean, at the end of the day, that was Excel, right?
It absolutely was Excel. And you were there on the ground floor with us as we were transitioning from a very Excel-based process. And it was, our initial focus certainly was on the one-year plan and just on the one-year planning process. We actually included 14 sort of interlinked spreadsheets in terms of that process. And that had all of the problems that you would expect with that type of process, version control, issues with people wanting to be in the same spreadsheet at the same time. And you know, that old cliche of one version of the truth, you know, that we certainly did not have one version of the truth back then. We had multiple versions. So certainly our journey with using the IBM products, with using planning analytics, has allowed us to put a lot more structure on the process itself, make the planning more effective. We have less need of having to validate and revalidate numbers. And it's really just added some good structure and process to what was a pretty manual effort back then.
Oh my goodness. Yes, I do remember. It's funny though, I actually love playing with Excel and it's so easy and quick to be able to put together a quick model and seeing it work. But if you're not careful, all of a sudden it grows to this 14 link spreadsheet behemoth you described, right? And then it's not fun anymore all of a sudden.
Yes, exactly. And certainly Excel has its place. And quite frankly, that really we think is one of the benefits of planning analytics. The tool we do use now for our planning and reporting is that it's still integrated with Excel. However, there's a database behind it. So there's no question about version, and there's no question about folks kind of fighting to get into one spreadsheet. So that certainly was a benefit that we saw with planning analytics and the integration, because you know finance departments, and we certainly love our Excel spreadsheets, and if we were going to take that away from our analysts, we'd have a fight on our hands for sure.
So that was a great overview. Let's dig into the details a little bit about the journey. So I know that when we first worked together 13 years ago, it was really about the annual plan and a small handful of finance users. And now you have hundreds of people using the system that you've shepherded along. So when you think back, was there a big vision from the start, or did it sort of evolve naturally?
Well, it really did evolve naturally. So the business problem that we were trying to solve 13 years ago was our one-year plan process and making that more efficient. But quite frankly, so then it was called TM1, now Planning Analytics. But we did start out with, I'm going to say, maybe 12 or 15 users. We were focused solely on the one-year plan. But what we honestly did find once we started working with the tool was, we were so pleased with the benefits that it gave us on the one-year plan process that we found many extensions where we would have a business use for the tool. So we're like, oh, this is great. The one-year plan is working so much more efficiently. Well, we also do expense planning. We do labor planning. We do capital planning. We do sales forecasting. Perhaps we could extend this tool and use it for those key areas as well. And so that's exactly what we did. And it really wasn't kind of a big bang where we wanted to take on all of these areas at once. One thing that we did learn from our initial implementation with you was that you don't want to chew off too much at one time, and you certainly want to plan carefully the steps that you're going to take and the business issues that you're really trying to resolve. So very gradually we did just move on to expense planning. You know, we now have a very robust model there. It includes labor planning, and actually I think it's a module that Qubit built for us, which has worked out great for us, where we have a by person labor module. And it's important to our particular business because we have a number of unions with slightly different timing in terms of labor escalation and merit increases, and there's just some very complex rules with a number of different unions in our business. So we're able to incorporate all of that. That is remarkably more efficient. We moved on to our capital planning, our expense planning. So again, all of these processes were really Excel based. But really, quite frankly, as we evolved through kind of those big chunks, we are in a position now where we are kind of looking at it a little bit more globally, and we do have a bit more of a vision about where we want to go and how we want to continue to improve. You know, quite frankly, we do have a lot of focus here on continuous improvement. You know, one thing we never like to do is say, oh, okay, well, we finally got in that one big module, now we're set forever. We really are focused here. And I give a lot of credit, honestly, to our management within the finance area. And we get a lot of support in that. But really, it's a culture of continuous improvement in all aspects, including how we use our systems.
You know, I love that answer in many different ways, because you touched on several big themes that really interest me personally. So now I'm revealing what a big geek I am, right? But the first one is this notion, actually my boss, whom you also know, Richard Kreith, he used to talk about it and call it the new horizon. So the idea being that when someone is first exposed to a new tool or a new technology or a new idea, you know, there's only so much they can absorb. And that would have been you 13 years ago, right? And if we had started talking to you about labor planning and capital planning and all of that other stuff at that time, you may not have been ready to receive it. But once you had been through that first project and it had been successful and you had a deeper understanding of what was possible, then all of a sudden these new horizons open up to you, right? Where you suddenly are ready to receive these other ideas or even to come up with them yourself because now you have that foundational understanding. So that is, so that's what I heard in your answer. I hope you'd agree with that, but tell me if you don't.
No, I do agree, absolutely. And I think that's a great phrase, new horizon. And I think that exactly was us. That would have been just way too overwhelming at the beginning. And I certainly remember working with Richard, and you know, and I remember him very fondly. But that's a great phrase, and I'll need to remember that. But yeah, I do agree with that. And I think from what I've seen with perhaps other projects, you know, other IT projects, sometimes people do just bite off more than they can chew at the beginning. And I do think once you've really laid that foundation and you really can very thoughtfully know what the tool does and how you can use it and how you can enhance it and extend it, I think that makes perfect sense, that really is the right approach. Rather than trying to do everything at once, I think you're setting yourself up a bit for failure if you do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And actually it ties in then to that second theme, which I loved that you mentioned, was continuous improvement, a culture of continuous improvement that's supported by management, because that to me just seems like common sense and practical, right? Because the world is changing. Like none of us, even if we would love to stay the same, I would love to stay the same, you know, but if I just sit in my chair all day and don't do any exercise, I'm not going to be in good shape, right? You know, so you always have to work to keep up sometimes with the world that's changing around you, or to compete better, or whatever it is your goal is. And by building in that culture, you know, but by building continuous improvement right into your culture, that means that you're constantly in a process of adjusting, in a process of looking for things that you need to improve or you need to change. And it doesn't become sort of a thing like, you know, once a year you sit down, you say, oh, what should we be doing now? You know, at which point you may have fallen too far behind and it's much harder to catch up. But if you're continually looking out, then you have a better chance of frankly keeping up and even getting ahead. I don't know if I said that well, but it also fits into an idea from software development, like agile software development, agile methods, agile processes, which are also fashionable. And there's a reason they are. It's because they also speak to this continuous improvement and continuous kind of sensing and reassessing of the environment kind of idea. So don't know if that makes sense.
Yes. No, I absolutely agree with that. And I think, you know, I think that we would not really be doing our jobs if we didn't continually look at how we can improve, how we can improve the systems that we're really offering and the functionality that we're really offering to our end users and our analysts. I think I see that honestly as my role and the role of the team that I lead in always looking for better ways to do things. So we do incorporate in our planning process, one thing I think that really is important is that we do reach out to our customer base, the folks that are really actually using the system, our analysts, our business users, and really poll them. We have a structure where we do periodically touch base with them and we ask for their insight on what would make their lives easier. How are the changes going that we've made? So it's really not so much, you know, the systems team, even though we are in finance, we also do a lot of finance functions in my team, but it's not just the system owners kind of deciding what would be best serve the business users. We have a group that meets regularly that talks about changes users might like to see. How are things working and what could we be doing better? And to me, that continuous improvement process really is key to our function and what we do.
You know, the thing that jumped out at me in that bit, which was great, was your use of the word customer, you know, because when you say customer, you're not talking about your utility customers like me, potentially, right?
Right.
What you're talking about is those hundreds of financial analysts and business users that are internal to Eversource who are using the system that your team manages and runs. And what you're describing is frankly a whole product management process whereby, or program management process, right? Where you have it built in. And I think the fact that you even use the word customer almost, you know, makes it happen, right? Because you think of them as customers, therefore you have to serve them. Therefore, these things naturally, you know, become part of the process. Does that make sense?
Yes, no, exactly. And that is exactly how I was using the phrase. And I think that's true with the mindset of us serving those users to make their jobs and their lives better and having a better user experience. I think that really does drive some of the mindset in terms of looking to improve things, continually looking to improve things. You know, I think where we are is actually in a really good spot. I think things are running well. I think people are pleased with the product, and I think you can just never really rest on your laurels. And exactly as you were describing with the whole agile mindset, yeah, I think we always need to continually look at changes we can make and what can we do better, because things are fast paced for sure.
Now that discussion is a great lead-in to my final question today. So one of the things everyone's talking about these days is digital transformation. And to me, digital transformation is really about simply using technology to do business better. And that means that it's not just about putting in new technology, but even more about empowering people and rethinking how we work and work together. So do you see what you achieved at Eversource as a digital transformation? And if you did you learn any lessons you'd be willing to share?
Yeah, I do view it as partially as a digital transformation in addition to a system implementation. And when I look back now at our processes 13 years ago, before we really began this journey, I can just see that the way people work is transformed. And a little bit of it is being off of doing manual spreadsheets, but it's more of our business users really spending their time more on the high value work than they did before. And you know, we certainly are taking advantage of all of the new features that we have now within planning analytics for Excel, and it does just make things run more smoothly for folks. I believe there are so many options in terms of how you can get the data out of the system, how you can slice and dice it, how you can put together your analyses. And we are also making good use out of planning analytics workspace, and that's the web type interface, kind of, I think of it as really a dashboarding or web-based tool. And we've transformed a bit there, people's reliance on spreadsheets and on kind of working exclusively in Excel. You know, we're now, I think, providing a much nicer and more structured user experience. So we've really used Workspace to really structure more of our users and the way they interact with the system. So to me, our transformation, we really have had a transformation in terms of our users just doing business more efficiently. quite frankly.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when we, Qubit, as a vendor and a service provider, when we go to prospective clients and we try to persuade them to invest in technology, one of the things we say is that, you know, today your people are spending inordinate amounts of time just manipulating spreadsheets and very little time actually doing analysis and thinking about what the data is telling them. But, you know, we make this promise. I can't say that we're fantastic at following up later and making sure that that promise has been fulfilled, right? Because the goal is really to flip it, right? To have more time for analysis. But I think what you've just said is that at Eversource, you have achieved that instead of people worrying about tracking down the right spreadsheet or the right version of the spreadsheet or tracking down errors in spreadsheets or fixing links between spreadsheets, now people are literally spending their time asking questions and being able to go to the system and get the data they need for the answers without having to worry whether it's correct, without having to worry, you know, whether it's accessible, without having to ask people for it. It's kind of, you know, there for them. Is that what you're describing?
Yes, it is exactly, because looking back at the low value work and all of the worrying about which version was correct, and it really is remarkable, I think, what we've been able to achieve over these past years. And it is just really a new way of working. And quite frankly, I really do feel that the new planning analytics for Excel, the new planning analytics workspace, which we use, they really are state-of-the-art tools. It really isn't like just taking the data and putting it into a spreadsheet. And it really is just a whole new way of working. And it just makes people more efficient in what they do. And I think it does lead us collectively as a finance group to be able to use those tools to do the analyses, to get the data insights. And it definitely is a transformation. It certainly has been a journey from those 15 users now to almost 300. And it's really been a success. And we're really pleased with where the journey led us from 13 years ago.
Well, Fran, I can't think of better words to end with than what you just said. So thank you so much for sharing. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Oh, I did as well. I was very pleased to do it. Thanks so much.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Do stay in touch. You can email us at info@quebit.com. Or check out past episodes and transcripts at qubit.com/podcast. Until next time, take care.